Our Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 12. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and he told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We gather here today, again, one more week closer to the end of this Lenten journey, the fifth out of 6 weeks. We gather here one more week closer to Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, in which next week we would typically say the words, "Hosanna." One of you got it. Let's try that again. Next week we say the words, "Hosanna." One more time. Oh gosh, you are sleepy Lutherans. I love it. This is a dense sermon, so if it requires you to get up and like shake your hands to wake up a little bit, I encourage you to do so. But we're here one more week closer to the death and resurrection that has never happened before and will never happen again since. But let me ask you all of this opening question this. This is the opening question. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? In John's story this morning, we have a group of Greeks who have come looking for Jesus. Jesus and the disciples have already gathered near Jerusalem for the great annual Passover celebration. But Jesus' ability to be secluded in his stage in his ministry has obviously become non-existent. Even to the most unlikeliest of groups, these Greek people who, for all intents and purposes, have no specific relationship with Jesus. In all of Jesus' ministry, he very rarely targeted anyone in the Greek community. Yes, there are people influenced by the Greeks who were a part of experiencing some of these pieces of the story, but the target for Jesus was never the Greeks. And now they're here, and even the Greeks, this very non-Jewish group of people, this very polytheistic group of believers, have come along to Jerusalem seeking something and seeking someone. Now it's hard to tell how they've come across this man named Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe they were passing through Jerusalem on business for some reason. Maybe they were going to capitalize on the Passover festival, because if you wanted to make some money, going to Jerusalem during the Passover feast was the way to do it. So maybe they're there for business. Maybe they're there for trade. Maybe they were curious as to what this Passover celebration was. Kind of like the tourists that go to Sturgis that have nothing to do with motorcycles. By the way, if you're one of them, I can spot you from a mile away. That's fascinating. Or maybe the word had honestly gotten out to this spiritual group of people, so to speak, and they just genuinely want to see this Jesus person and what he can do, this medicine man of sorts that's full of miracles, as the word has gotten out. Now, when I picture these Greeks standing at that door asking to see Jesus, I have this image painted in my head this morning of what we might call today the spiritual but not religious group of people. Anyone ever hear of any of them? Right? We all have them. They're co-workers of ours, friends of ours, maybe some family members. You know, Mom, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. You know, yeah, I believe in some higher power. That it's there, but I don't need to go to church to experience that. The spiritual but not religious crowd in the culture. And there is no doubt that the Greek culture was spiritual. They worshiped more gods than anyone could count. On every corner, they had a statue of a god. They had images of gods all over the place. They had gods for their gods. And then on top of that, they had massive, beautiful temples. On every Greek isle, there are these temples that worship gods. So it is safe to say that these Greeks had some level of spirituality in that they worship. But there is also no doubt that our culture that we live in today is also spiritual but unreligious, so to speak. Now, on the flip side of the coin, there are also many people in our culture today, and I would say there are many people that sit and grace us in the pews and churches all across America that could also maybe jump in and say, well, Pastor, maybe I'm religious, but I'm not quite spiritual, you know. I'm religious, but I'm not even sure what spirituality means. In other words, this crowd is all of us who grew up going through the motions of this thing called church, this thing called religion. We went to Sunday school. Why? Because Mom said we go to Sunday school. We go to vacation Bible school. Why? Because Mom said we go to vacation Bible school. We go to church. Why? Because our denominations across the street said this is what we do on Sundays. Amen? So we are practicing the religion, but do we have a spirituality? We have no true idea how to articulate our relationship with God or the spiritual realm whatsoever, and we can say, I'm religious, but I'm not so sure if I'm spiritual. And I promise you this group will never say the words out loud. You know why? Because if we're here every week and we understand the dogma and doctrine, we would never ever confess that maybe, just maybe, we have some unanswered questions. Amen? Amen. So in the meantime, we could make the fair assumption that we have many religious people hoping and praying that the Greeks in our community will come and join us, hoping and praying that the spiritual will finally one day grace us in the pews, bolster our attendance numbers, fill the offering plate, transfer membership, which some of which never had membership to begin with, and we hope and we beg and we plead that we will do this, yet we have no idea what we want them to join us for. If you're there, so am I some weeks. And then vice versa, we could make the fair assumption that the spiritual but not religious group are wondering, why in the heck would we waste our time with the institution of religion, even though they themselves cannot tell you exactly what it is that they truly believe either? Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what I call the spiritually religious conundrum. We genuinely, as a culture, are trying to figure out who it is that we are looking for. But nonetheless, back to the story. We have these Greeks standing in the doorstep, much like last week where Nicodemus came and knocked on the door when he was up north in Galilee. We have the Greeks now knocking on the door. Can we meet him? Can we meet this man named Jesus? And who do we have? We've got Philip, right? Philip is just like the pastor at the door. Welcome this morning. How are you today? Can we come see Jesus? I don't know. I got to go consult. So Philip goes to talk to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip go talk to Jesus, right? What should we show them? What should we show them? They're looking for something or someone, so what shall we show them? Now, this is the question that I think our culture is wrestling with the most today. The question that begs us to ask ourselves who we are looking for in order that we can actually have some semblance of understanding what it is we are to show others what to look for. And I've quoted him before, I'll quote him again. Dr. David Lowe, one of my favorite professors in seminary, I read this article that he wrote specifically about this text. He says this about Jesus. The point of faith in Jesus, now I'm going to pause there because that faith is an F word that no one really actually understands. Let's change it. The point of a relationship in Jesus isn't just about the relationship of comfort or satisfying our spiritual desires or to feel good. No, the point of following Jesus is that we might be drawn more deeply into the kingdom of God through our love for and our service to and our sacrifice on behalf of those around us. In other words, for Jesus, what's more important is the others around us versus what we are going to get out of that relationship with Jesus. Jesus comes to demonstrate God's strength through vulnerability. Again, relationship. In order to have an actual, genuine relationship, it requires vulnerability. God's power comes through what appears to be weak in the world, because the world wanted a mighty army military force to kick the Romans out and to take charge and dominion all over again. And Jesus brings out this point that God's justice comes through love, mercy, and forgiveness. Not the ways that we think we need to get our points across. And this is the hardest part. He calls those who would follow him to the very same kind of life and love of vulnerability, of walking alongside the neighbor, of understanding relationship. And this is the most difficult realization in this relationship with God this Lent. It's the most difficult realization in regard to our relationship with God the entire rest of our lives. It is this. What we need to do today is to take away all the titles that represent different groups and different thoughts in this world. We need to take away the titles that we use to describe a relationship with God. We need to take away the titles that describe a relationship with one another and all of our passions in life. We need to take away the word spiritual. We need to take away the word religious. We need to take away the word the unchurched or the Greeks. We need to take away the word Democrat or Republican. We need to take away the word woke versus bigots. Amen? Because the more titles we have, the more lines are drawn in the sand. And last I checked, that's not working very well these days, is it? Not at all. By the way, every single time, if you go into the gospel stories and you look at Jesus and you look at every single group that approaches Jesus, whether it's an individual representing a group or whether it's an individual who's seeking with questions, like the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, what does it take to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Or like the Pharisees and some of the scribes that pull out the prostituting woman, they're about to stone her to death, and he reaches down and he literally draws in the sand and picks her up off the ground and says, go and sin no more. Every single time that we have a line drawn in the sand and a group that comes to Jesus with an agenda or a motive, Jesus never takes the side. And that's something to think about. Because what John is trying to tell us this morning in this text, what God is telling us through his Son, Jesus Christ, is that what matters most is what we want to accomplish in this life while we are searching for that place where we want to find Jesus. So what do you want to accomplish while you're looking for this guy named Jesus? What's not important is that we find Jesus, like the Greeks are trying to do. It's less important that we're trying to find Jesus. Instead, we are to understand that what he is up to, and we are to join in to what Jesus is about. So if your only goal is to meet this man named Jesus in person, maybe so that you can feel good, emotionally be right with God, well, you'll probably be disappointed. Because yes, Jesus brought compassion. Jesus brought dignity. Jesus was humble. But rarely did the person walk away feeling absolutely blessed that Jesus jumped in on their agenda. If your goal is only to find some holy moment of clarity, some spiritual clarity, well, again, I'm guessing that you're probably going to be disappointed, because last I checked, the disciples walked along with Jesus day in and day out up to his very dying day, and guess what? They didn't have a whole lot of clarity. In a couple weeks, or 3 weeks, you know, after Jesus has died and rose again, where are we going to be? In the upper room where the disciples are all doubting, right? We have the famous Doubting Thomas text. So if we're going to Jesus for clarity, again, we might be disappointed. If your goal is to find some healing cure for all the struggles that we are facing in this life and treat Jesus like he's some medicine man, well, Jesus does point something out for truth. That day will come when we too are resurrected to the Father. It's called death. In fact, Jesus is very clear about death in our text today. And if that is something that we are deeply and terrified of, again, we might be disappointed. All these things which Jesus has already told throughout the gospel stories time and time again are because the people are looking for him in all the wrong places. When we knock on that door ourselves and we ask Philip, can we see him? Can we see this man named Jesus? We better be prepared for what Jesus might say next. Because he says these exact words. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. So again, I'll ask you one more time. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for spirituality? Are you looking for religion? Or are you looking for the one who will point you towards the homeless man down the street? Are you looking for the one who will point you towards your own broken relationship within your family that we've tried our hardest to avoid solving? Are you looking for the one who will point you in the direction that shows you how to walk alongside of all people without boundaries, without titles, for the sake of holding each other accountable, for the sake of respect, for the sake of dignity, not just the group that we think we represent? Are you looking for the one who will point you towards the person you struggle with the most, for the sake of love, forgiveness, and mercy? Because this is where God's greatest work begins, in the forgiveness, in the love, and the mercy. If this isn't who you're looking for today, then maybe we knocked on the wrong door. Thanks be to God. Amen.